Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. We want to take this opportunity to thank you for tuning in this morning. Hope you'll become a regular listener. Each Sunday morning, we endeavor to open God's Word and give you a biblical answer to the things that we practice and teach. We also encourage you, beginning on February the 9th, on Public Access Channel number 6, we will begin a new TV program entitled Searching the Scriptures. It will begin on February the 9th at 8 a.m. to 8:30 a.m. You can get this on Turner Broadcasting on channel number 6. We encourage you to tune in and listen and hope that you will be edified by what you hear. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given our meeting times at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ, and we cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You'll always be warmly received. We also have a website, churchofchrist@harrodsburg.com. You can find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's holy and divine word. We are examining the question why. Why we do things a certain way and why we don't practice certain things. We began this series in December and are going to run it for one more month. This morning, we want to ask the question and answer why we don't have church kitchens and fellowship halls. It is not uncommon to find churches that have kitchens and fellowship halls, a place where they can have church dinners, parties, and other social gatherings. Visitors to our services will notice that we don't have such facilities. Why is that? When we talk about a church kitchen, we're not talking about a place to prepare the Lord's Supper, to wash the communion trays, or to take care of needy saints. We're talking about the church providing a place for meals for social and recreational purposes. These are sometimes called fellowship halls, family life centers, or one that's more popular today, multi-purpose buildings. Let us consider again the issue of eating in the church building. The question is about whether we could have meals in the church building was not a question of whether the building was sacred. It was not a question on whether one could eat inside the building or on church property. No one was contending that it was simple to eat something on church property, preacher eating his lunch or janitor eating a snack while cleaning or any such thing. The issue is, can the church have a common meal for social and recreational purposes funded and paid for by the church treasury? So why is it that we don't have a church kitchen or a fellowship hall? First of all, there is no Bible authority for it. How is Bible authority determined? We need to be reminded of how we determine what is authorized, and we discussed this in a previous lesson. When the issue of circumcision was raised in Acts 15, it was addressed by appealing to the command of a direct statement in verse number 13, by a proved example in verse 12, and by necessary inference in verse 7 and 11. These principles are seen in the Lord's Supper. We observe the Lord's Supper because of a command and a direct statement in 1 Corinthians 11, 23 and 24. We partake on the first day of the week and only on that day because of the approved example in Acts 20 and verse 7. We serve it every Sunday because of necessary inference that there is a first day of the week every week. Thus, when we are looking for Bible authority, we are looking for a command or a direct statement, an approved example, or a necessary inference. There is no command, there is no example, there is no necessary inference in Scripture to authorize the church to arrange for or support a common meal for social and recreational purposes. If it is authorized, we ask, where is the passage? We are looking for authority for the church to sponsor meals for social and recreational purposes. We are not looking for a specific mention of a church kitchen or a fellowship hall. If the church is authorized to have meals for social and recreational purposes, then kitchens and fellowship halls would be an aid in carrying out that command. To illustrate, we understand aids are authorized within the command. The command to eat the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians 11 authorizes the use of plates, tables, and cups. The command to baptize in Matthew 28:19 authorizes the use of a baptistry and a heater. The command to sing in Ephesians 5:19 authorizes the use of books and tuners. Those are merely aids in carrying out the command. The point here is, we are not looking for a passage that mentions a kitchen or a fellowship hall. What we are looking for is a passage that authorizes the church to have meals for social and recreational purposes. It is not the work of the church. It's the second reason we do not have them. The work of the church is threefold. First, the church is commissioned to be engaged in evangelism. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth, 1 Timothy 3:15. Second, the church is to edify. That means to be built up spiritually. In Ephesians 4 and verse 16, it does that to itself. Edification comes through the revelation of God's word. In Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing the word of God. Third, in benevolence, the church is to take care of its own needy saints, according to 1 Timothy 5:16, to take care of widows indeed, so the church might not be charged. If we want to add another work of the church for social and recreational activities, where is the passage that authorizes the church to do that work? A church kitchen is not the work of the church. A church kitchen or fellowship hall is not part of the work of evangelism. Some had thought that churches could attract numbers by offering food and then teach them the gospel. Nothing of the kind was done in the New Testament. If it takes a biscuit or a burger to bring them, it will take a biscuit and a burger to keep them. A church kitchen is not part of the work of edification. A church kitchen is not part of the work of benevolence. If we want to add another work for the church, social or recreational activities, where is the passage that authorizes the church to do that work? The church is not a social order. The gospel is not a social gospel. Let's consider two points from our previous discussions and then add some additional thoughts. The church is not a social order. Paul said, "The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit," Romans 14:17. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now my kingdom is not from here," John 18:36. Peter said the church was a spiritual house in 1 Peter 2 and verse 5. The gospel is not a social gospel. When large numbers followed Jesus after feeding the 5,000, Jesus answered and said, "Most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the sign, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life," John 6:26 and 27. The gospel is a redemptive message. The Great Commission shows that the gospel to be preached to the world concerns the subject of salvation, Mark 16 and 15 and 16. Luke 24, verse 47 says, "It's the preaching for remission of sin." God's plan for making men righteous is found in the gospel. It's His power to save, Romans 1:16. The gospel is God's message to save to those who will obey it, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18 and 21. We are saved by the gospel, according to the Apostle Paul, in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 and 3. Every gospel sermon found in the book of Acts focused on the subject of salvation. The gospel does not address the social ills of society, but it is a message of redemption. Why? It is a spiritual work, a spiritual message. It is not a physical work. Individual liberties and responsibilities are not church liberties and responsibilities. The issue in the 50s and 60s made two major shifts. First, there was a shift from spiritual to social. The church sponsored human institutions involved in that shift. Then later, after those institutions were built, then church kitchens and fellowship halls were introduced and the shift was made again. The second shift was from the individual to the church. Liberties and responsibilities of the individual have now been pushed off on the church. There is a difference between the individual and the church. Paul illustrates this in his instruction to 1 Timothy 5:16 to illustrate the difference. Here, the individual is charged to take care of his widow, and the church is not to be burdened with that. Clearly, the individual has a responsibility that the church does not possess. The individual and the church differ in name. The individual wears the name Christian, Acts 11, verse 26, 1 Peter 4:16. The church is never called Christian. The church is referred to as the Church of Christ in Romans 16:16, or the Church of God in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse number 2. The individual and the church differ in its work. The individual takes care of its own widows, while the church takes care of widows indeed, 1 Timothy 5:16. The individual and the church differ in finances. The individual can buy and sell and gain money, James 4, verse 13. However, there is no authority for the church to do so. The church gets its money through free will offering, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 and 2. We're not into buying stocks or bonds or future ventures or land in order that we can gain a profit and we can make money. The church is not a money-making institution. Common meals are for individual matters. Paul said, when you come together, therefore, into one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper, for in eating everyone taketh before his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. What, have you not houses to eat and to drink in, or do you despise the church of God? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. 1 Corinthians 11:20 and 22. Paul's answer to the problem of the Corinthians making a common meal of the Lord's Supper was not to make sure that they understood it was not in a fellowship hall, but they were to have that meal in their own home. Now, there is a difference in incidental matters while at the building and something planned and sponsored by the church. We might have a conversation with one another over politics, but does that mean that the church can plan and organize a political rally? We might talk about some member about buying something from them, but does that mean the church can set up a business to do so? While at services, one might seek medical advice from a nurse or a doctor who's a member, but does that mean that the church can now set up a hospital or a clinic? The same is true when it comes to eating. We may eat while on the church property. Preacher may eat his lunch in the building. Someone cleaning the building may have a snack and such, but that doesn't mean that the church is authorized to have a church kitchen or to serve a common meal. Ladies and gentlemen, the issue is not about eating. The issue is the church authorized to do social and recreational activities and the church treasury to foot the bill? Nowhere in God's word do we have a command to do such. Nowhere do we have a biblical example of the early Christians doing such. And there is no necessary inference that would lead us to believe that the church has the authority to get involved in the social ills of the day. There just is no biblical authority. The reason that we don't have a fellowship hall or a multi-purpose room is that God's word does not authorize it. And to spend God's money in His treasury on such is a violation of His authority. We can only spend that money in three areas: the work of evangelism, the work of edification, and the work of limited benevolence to needy saints. Any other money used for secular, for social, or recreational purposes is a work of men and not a work of God. Now, I know it's not popular, and I know the majority of religious institutions all around us have their multi-purpose rooms and their family life centers and their fellowship hall, and they believe that there is nothing wrong. The problem is not that it's wrong to eat together or to get and have recreation for our young people. It is wrong to give the bill to the church. We have no authority. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day.